te despegues de nuestra programación. Sigue con Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342. Aquí comienza un programa de Encuentro Radio. 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Open Space Conversations. This radio program is brought to you by Global Mission Fellows,
a community dedicated to amplifying the voices and stories of diverse communities around the world.
We will be diving into important social justice issues of our time, exploring the ways that they intersect with beliefs, science, technology, and the environment.
Aiming to open spaces to have conversations about critical issues that are shaping our world today and working toward solutions to create a more equitable and just world for all.
From climate change, education, gender justice, health, and food security, in this space, you're welcome. In this conversation, your voice is heard.
Tune in to our special episodes Wednesdays at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time and through podcast version of CIPOC and Encuentro Radio.
Shouldn't be together, too young to know about forever, but I say they don't know what they talking about. This love is only getting stronger, so I don't want to wait any longer. I just want to tell the world that you're mine, girl. Oh, they don't know about the things we do.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to the world. We are back on Open Space Conversations, and my name is Tiwonge, and I'm here with friends from all over the world. So if you are not a new listener, you are probably wondering why you are hearing a different voice. So hello. I'm Tiwonge, like I earlier mentioned, and I'm a Global Mission Fellow from the 2023-2025 cohort, and I'm here with my friends who I'm going to let introduce themselves. So with me at this moment are three of my good friends and fellow GMFs, and I will invite them to tell us a little bit of, about themselves. And firstly, I will call upon Tino to introduce himself, and then we'll have Charity, and then Kenny can close the introduction. So, Tino.
Thank you so much. Hi, everyone. My name is Tino. Originally, I'm from Zimbabwe, but I'm currently serving in Northern Ireland with the Northwest Methodist Mission, and it's my pleasure to be a part of this discussion that we're going to be having today. Thank you.
Charity, you can go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Hi, everyone. My name is Charity Afo, and I'm from Ghana, and I'm serving as a Global Mission Fellow in Liberia. I am a sign language interpreter, so, yeah, I teach sign language with the Deaf School. Thank you.
Hello, everyone. My name is Kenny Williams Panjaitan. Originally, I'm from Indonesia. I'm currently serving in Hong Kong with Youth Global Network Organizations as Project Assistant for Youth Ministries. Thank you.
Thank you so much for being on the panel today, guys. And so, just to get a little bit into the topic, so today we will be talking about access to education and its impact, and we would like to emphasize raising awareness on how we can help in advocating against this issue. But before that, I will have a quick disclaimer and just note that the views and opinions of the hosts and guests do not reflect the views and opinions of any organization, especially that of Global Ministries or Global Mission Fellows. Also, we are not professionals in this topic, but for this episode, we will share based on our research and personal experiences. Also, this topic is complex and might trigger some people, so please be aware of that. And if you are uncomfortable or having a hard time, feel free to disconnect. On the other hand, we also would like to hear from you. So share your stories, comments, questions, or whatever you want to say to the group. You can participate by sending a message or questions to the panelists by leaving a comment on our Facebook Live page. And or you can just send a message to our panelists. So for the Facebook Live, you can search for Open Space Conversations, GMF 2022-2025. I will repeat that again. That's Open Space Conversations, GMF 2022-2025. Or you can privately send the message directly to our panels, as I earlier said. So just a reminder, this is a space for everyone to feel heard and included, so be mindful of your weights. Thank you. I will straight away jump into discuss, like just bringing us to our topic, which is access to education, like I earlier mentioned. And Kenny will start off by introducing our topic, and then he'll also talk about some of the barriers to access to education. So without me getting much into it, Kenny, over to you.
Thank you so much, Tiwonge. All right, everyone. I will introduce about access to education. Access to education is a fundamental human right and a crucial driver of individual and also societal development. It is the gateway through which individuals can acquire knowledge, develop skills, and also foster critical thinking, enabling them to participate fully in their communities and economies. Education not only empowers individuals, but also promotes social cohesion, economic growth, and sustainable development, making it essential for achieving broader global goals such as poverty alleviation and gender equality. Despite its significance, access to education remains a challenge for millions of people worldwide. Various barriers, including economic constraints, geographical isolations, cultural norms, and also political instability, impeded the ability of children and adults to obtain quality education. These obstacles like disproportionately affect marginalized groups, including girls, ethnic minorities, and individuals with disabilities, perpetuating cycles of poverty and inequality. In many regions, the impact of these barriers is profound, with entire communities suffering the consequences of educational inequality. Lack of access to education limits employment opportunities, hinders economic advancement, and restricts personal development, like leading to a range of social issues, like also including increased crime rates and health disparities. Addressing the challenges to accessing education is imperative for like fostering inclusive societies and ensuring that every individual has the opportunity to realize their potential. By investing in education and removing barriers, we can create pathways to success for future generations, like ultimately contributing to a more equitable and prosperous world. Also, for the barriers, we know that there are also some barriers to accessing education. The first one I would like to say, it's about economic barriers. Cost of education is number one. Tuition fees, uniforms, textbooks, and other school-related expenses can be prohibitively high, and also especially for low-income families. Opportunity cost. Families may prioritize immediate income over education, requiring children to work instead of attending school, particularly in low-income settings. Number two is also about geographical barriers. We know that about remote locations. Many children in rural or isolated areas lack nearby schools, making it difficult to attend regularly. Also, infrastructure challenges. You know that poor transportation options, unsafe routes, and also inadequate school facilities can deter attendance, and also like particularly for girls and vulnerable populations. So I can also say number three is social and cultural barriers. Gender discrimination. In some cultures, girls are often discouraged or outright prohibited from pursuing education due to traditional gender roles and societal expectations. Number four is political barriers. Conflict and instability. Armed conflicts, political unrest, and crisis can also disrupt education system, leading to school closures and displacement of students. Number five is health barriers. Illness and disability. Chronic health issues or disabilities can also limit attendance and also participation in school activities. Malnutrition also can be the reasons, because poor nutrition affects children's cognitive and physical development, making it difficult for them to focus and engage in learning. Number six is technological barriers. In today's increasingly digital world, lack of access to technology and the internet can prevent students from engaging in modern educational opportunities, especially in remote areas. And number seven will be the last, language barriers. You know, language of instructions. Students who do not speak the language of instruction may struggle to understand lessons, resulting in lower academic performance and higher dropout rates. So by recognizing and addressing these barriers, stakeholders can work toward creating more inclusive and equitable education system that ensure all individuals have the opportunity to learn and succeed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kenny, for that clear and precise definition and diving into the barriers. From my pickups, I picked, you talked about economic barriers, some geographical barriers, but I think my highlight could be the disability barrier, which usually affects a lot of people, as those people are usually fail to mingle with the likes of us, for lack of a better term. So, yeah, thank you so much for that. So, we will now have a listen to another song before we can have a listen to Charity. So let's hear the song and then, yeah, we'll get back. Welcome back, guys. Thank you so much for staying with us. And next, we have Charity, who is going to be discussing the role of gender in access to education. Charity, take it away.
All right. Okay. So, hi, everyone. My name is Charity again. Okay, so before I begin, I would like to give a brief definition of what gender is. And reading from my source, gender is a social construct that imparts attitudes, roles, responsibilities, and behavior patterns of boys and girls, men and women in all societies. And also today, if you are looking at the role of gender in education, one can also bring in, let's look at it in the case of societal norms, like let's look at it from the norm perspective. Like, you know, there's this thing where growing up, mostly we used to hear that women were subjected to be in the kitchen while the men to go to school. But now we can see there's a change in all those ideas and all those reasoning that we had in the past. But this is also, gender is also has a great impact in the access of education for both the males and the females. Let's look at it from the family perspective. So, for instance, I come from a family where from okay, for instance, I have two brothers and I'm the only girl in the family, and then depending on my family's capability, sometimes it's from the family's capability, or are we really able, depending on whether they are able to take this person to school or not. So mostly, if families want to decide who goes to school or who doesn't go to school, mostly they would go for the male child, because to them, the male being educated is, because at the end of the day, women would just end up getting married, giving birth, and women were subjected to being in the home. So the male child would be preferred to go to school than the female. And if we look at it from another point of view, we can say, oh, that's first point is depending on finances. It's like where families cannot afford to educate their children, they often prefer the boy child. They prioritize the boy child. Like, they, boys are seen to be likely able to get good jobs, you know, and support their parents. While girls, it's more perceived the future, like we are homemakers. We are supposed to take care of our husband's families rather than supporting their own family. And another thing I can say is gender division of labor. There's gender division of labor. That's why the access to education is now a problem. Because in order for women or for ladies to get access to education, already people have it in their mind, the labor is just for the men. So they, like, rooms are not really created for women or for females to access education. We can see the gender division of labor often burdens girls with more domestic work and more tasks that interfere with their schooling on girls. Also, this also helps impede the regular attendance at school and their learning, as this undermines their ability to do homework. Like, for instance, you can see, like, you know, various communities, like, countries that we are, depending on where we are, because currently where I am, you would see young children who are literally, like, females after school, they have to hug for the family, they have to go to the streets and be selling and all that, while the boy is doing their homework at school, at home. So this also creates that gap, like, okay, why is, okay, there's an access to education, but to what extent are this particular group of people, what are they going through? Are they getting the quality of education? Yes, there's access, but is it a quality of education? Are they having the quality environment to use in exploring their potentials? I personally will not agree with that, because why should the lady be taken from doing the homework and be given house chores to do while the men are there doing what they are initially supposed to do? Okay. So another thing is gender inequality. Inequality. Also, this also undermines the children's access to education and their learning experience. Like, we have situations whereby even in the classroom, for instance, you see teachers are more focused on the males than they would focus on the females. There was, you know, growing up, we come from this thing where boys were given more opportunities than the ladies. So this has this gives that that struggle for access to education. Like, all I can say is men in general have that access to education than female. Let's look at it from a rural community. Let's say in this case where someone brings in a scholarship from somewhere, right? And then the community gets to sit down and then they decide on, okay, so which one are we going to take? Are we going to send a lady or a female to go to another town where the scholarship will be to get education, or we will send the man to go get education. So you see that imbalance in between gender and the access of education. And in this case, a man is going to be preferred over a female, because there in the village, a female is subjected to the kitchen. So I think this is the little input I can add to what Kenny has said on the gender role in education, access to education. Thank you.
Thank you, Charity, for sharing. And yeah, it is indeed imperative that we take note of some of the links of gender and education. I think my pick out from your sharing is that I think I would love to tame it time. Most of the time, we as women would be found being a little bit more at home than the boy child. So on the homework part, yeah, like you find that the boy is doing their homework while the girl is in the kitchen helping out the mom. I see Tino has, yeah, but we'll get to you, Tino. Thank you very much. And for now, we'll now have a listen to another song before we can get to Tino and hear his view. So stay with us.
Just reminds her of the missing piece of innocence she loves.
Only getting older, baby.
Now will come Tino, who is rounding out our panel and sharing perspectives on the importance of individual, community, and parental involvement in improving access to education. So, Tino, welcome.
Thank you so much to our host. And I also want to thank my colleagues who have spoken before me. So basically, I'll just be talking about how the involvement of individuals, communities, and parents is essential in creating education and making education accessible to everyone. So, as you know, these groups play a very crucial role in establishing support system, fostering a safe space for learning, and ensuring that all children, regardless of their background, have an opportunity to learn and thrive. So I'm just going to start with how individual involvement is crucial and is important when it comes to education. So individual involvement through mentorship and role modeling. So it brings positive role models who spend time with young and vulnerable children can significantly influence the development. That includes mentors, volunteers who provide children with stable relationships, helping them to build confidence and resilience, especially for those who are lacking supportive figures at home. So we find out that some of these individuals, they do play a very vital role in ensuring that education can be accessible to people and those who are in need of education through support. Then also, children often benefit from one-on-one attention, whether it might be tutoring or mentorship. And individuals can invest time to teach and engage these children and also help to bridge the gaps in learning, which can prevent them from falling behind academically and socially. So we find out that individuals play a very important role in bridging the gap and maybe going an extra mile to do one-on-one teachings. You know, it's really important. Then I move on to community involvement. So community can establish programs and facilities that can make education accessible and appealing for vulnerable children and also people in general. So the community has to create schools, have to come up with ways to bring education to the people, because it's part of the community, so that they can develop the young talents, so that they can be future leaders and they can take responsibilities in the community. And also with the community helping these people with education, we find out that communities can thrive due to information that will be used to further develop other communities. And communities can also put resource support to children by organizing supplies to those children. You know, they need support that might be books, resources that they use, that might also be bringing technology to the most remote areas so that education can be accessible to everyone. And also this can include also funding and donations, seeking all those things from stakeholders who are willing to help. So it's part of the community that can drive all those initiatives so that they can be able to help children and everyone who needs education to be able to access it. Then also the community helps vulnerable children and also children in general, such as those in low-income backgrounds, those with disabilities, or those from minority groups, who often suffer from stigma and persecution. So community-driven awareness campaigns can help break down prejudice and create more inclusive culture and foster empathy for the challenges these children are experiencing. So with this community engagement, you can be able to help children, you know, to thrive. And you never know, some might reach their potentials and further contribute, you know, in the future. Then I'll move on to how parents can be involved in ensuring that education is accessible. So parents' involvement is very impactful for young children, as they rely heavily on their parents for both emotional and academic support. When parents or guardians are engaged in their children's learning and also showing interest in their schoolwork and anything that they might be doing, and also being there to celebrate their achievements, it boosts the children or the child's self-esteem, and it will encourage the child to
keep on doing more, and maybe they might actually fall in love with education. So when we're talking about education, we just don't mean going to school, but also being able to equip those kids with skills that are very essential, that can help themselves to be able to sustain the whole community and also support themselves, and not relying much on being funded and being fed. So also, when parents and teachers engage, they become advocates for their children's needs, thus communicating any special circumstances and challenges that children may face. And this collaboration ensures that the people who are in charge of these children are better informed and are able to provide specific and targeted support to each and every child, therefore enhancing both learning outcomes and the children's well-being. So yeah, that's the contribution that I have when it comes to how the role that communities, parents, and individuals have in fostering education. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Tino, for that elaborate discussion. So I think if I am to pick out something, it's, I'm trying to link what you're just from saying from my own personal experiences. And I think it's true. We tend to pick a lot of motivation from the people who are around us, and that's usually our communities. That's different individuals that are around us. Is it our parents? Is it our siblings? Is it just someone from like next door? And I think growing up, I've had a few of those. Yes, definitely from my own home, I had a few. I had them motivating me, and I had a few from the community that would, you know, encourage you. You see them thriving, and you're like, okay, yeah, I really want to be like that. And if you have the courage, you go there, talk to them, and they really do move you from step one to step two, helping you move from like where you are to where you want to be or where you want to move to the next. And that is something that is really important when we speak of education as a push, because you could be going to school, but if you don't want any, if you don't have anyone motivating you, if you don't have anyone pushing you, you can only go so far. So thank you so much, Tino, and thank you so much to everyone on the panel for bringing together different issues that come about when we talk about access to education. And so I will just open the floor before we can, we'll listen to a song, and then we can open the floor to just an open discussion where we can all just discuss what we can on access to education. So thank you. Let's have a listen to a song, and then we'll be back. So welcome back. Thank you. I don't know. I'm trying to check if we have any comments on Facebook. And if we don't have any, then we can just discuss two questions to close off. So I don't know, we can maybe just discuss some strategies that we can implement to increase community engagement, especially Timo. Do you have any? You talked about community engagement in access to education. So do you, any Kenny or charity, what strategies can be implemented to increase community engagement, ensuring access to education? Anyone can take the mic.
So you can come up again. Probably I missed what you were trying to say. Thank you.
Okay, so currently we are just going to maybe discuss on, maybe let's say, what strategies we can come up with that can be implemented to increase community engagement in ensuring access to education.
Okay, thank you. So we are talking about what strategies can be implemented to increase community engagement and ensuring access to education.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll just pick a few. So there's education outreach programs, you know, where we can go in the most remote locations, and also maybe just outreach programs so that we can help kids who are in the most remote areas to be able to know that they've got rights to education, and organize informational sessions, workshops, and meetings that raise awareness about the importance of education for community development and specific challenges faced by marginalized communities. Then also use of collaborating with community leaders and influencers, you know, for them also to play their part in trying to advocate for children to be educated, and also for the rights of children to be able to access education. So thank you.
Thank you so much, Tino. Anyone else with any additions?
Maybe from me, I think some keys that I will highlight is about research centers establishment. So I think it's also better like create community research centers that serve like as hubs for educational materials, and also because these centers can provide textbooks, reference materials, and also computers and internet access. And I think functionality also important. Equip centers with study spaces, like tutoring services, and also workshops that cover a range of subjects, encourage involvement from local educators and volunteers to facilitate learning. Also, I think library partnerships is also important, because like collaborations and programs, like programs, implement programs such as like reading clubs or homework help sessions that kind of draw students into the library environment and also promote literacy. And the last for me, I think it's also transportation solutions, because you know that so many places that cannot reach because of the area is far away from like kind of transportation issues. So I think mobility programs is also so important, because developing transportation initiatives such as like carpools or shuttle services to help students like from remote or underserved areas access schools and educational resources. Also safe routes, because work with local authorities to ensure safe walking or biking routes to school, which can also encourage attendance and participate. I think it's that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Kenny. So I don't know, we can just maybe share key takeaways from this session, and then, yeah. So I can go first. I think I liked hosting this because I got to learn some things that I actually didn't know. Kenny opened up my mind to some barriers that I actually didn't know about, which is great. So thank you very much, Kenny. Tino, thank you for helping me appreciate the communities where I have come from, that have actually helped shape where I am today, even though we don't usually do that. And Charity, thank you for bringing a gender perspective to the conversation. It was enlightening. So, yeah, thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
I just wanted to add something more. Sorry. So I think it's also important that we use indigenous knowledge. So indigenous knowledge, this is like the basic knowledge that we have in our communities or like in our cultures and all that. Because if we have access to indigenous knowledge, this might also contribute, you know, somehow as a form of education. Like I mentioned before that, you know, we have people who haven't been well educated or like probably didn't get a chance to further their education, but there's some skills and basic knowledge that they can get from community leaders, you know, people who have survived and who have experienced this whole life thing. So we should also try to maximize indigenous knowledge that we get from communities and leaders within our communities. And this education might also prove to be very essential when it comes to tackling a lot of life issues that many of us are facing this time. So, yeah, that's my contribution.
Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else have anything, or we can?
Okay, for me, I think something that I want to add is like accountability frameworks is also needed to access the education, because you know that setting standards, establish clear standards and benchmarks for what constitutes equitable access to education, because this could include specific targets for enrollment, also retentions, and also success rates among marginalized groups. So, like, it is really needed by everyone. So I think it's also important. And also reporting requirements. So mandate that schools and districts report on their progress in meeting these standards, providing transparency about their efforts and also outcomes. So by implementing these accessibility improvements and robust monitoring and accountability systems, educational institutions can create an environment where all students, regardless of their backgrounds or abilities, have equal opportunities to succeed. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kenny, for that.
Okay, so I think my take I think I can add is like, if let's say in order for community engagement, let's families can be incorporated, like we should link, instead of being a one-way thing, it can be a two-way. Hi, can you hear me?
Hi, Charity, we can hear you. Okay, I think we have lost Charity, so we can just close on that note. So thank you so much, guys, for joining and for being on the panel. It was really a pleasure having you and learning from you all. And thank you so much to Capilac Radio for always being there and hosting us and having this possible. Yeah, so thank you so much. And to Hannah, too. Hannah Resna, thank you so much. So from everyone right now, we'll see you next time, guys. Thank you to all the listeners who are around, and thank you to our Facebook viewers, to everybody who was listening on Facebook and on the radio. Thank you. We'll be with you next time on our next session. So thank you.
A different day.